along to our latest Euro 2024 preview shows brought to you by freesupertips.com, your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst and I'm joined once again by Mark Langdon to discuss the quarterfinals of the Euros. But before we get into the last eight, Mark, we should really have a quick recap on what happened in the last 16 and how it stands in terms of the outright betting. Let's just quickly first look at the last 16 before I run you through the prices for the outrights, because I suppose along the way there are a couple of surprises. Maybe not many people expected Turkey to make it through to the quarterfinals in the way that they did. England, of course, squeezed through past Slovakia. But what was your overall take of the last 16, Mark?
Yeah, I think the overall kind of take was that, you know, it was the games weren't amazing. I think most of the games were not the standard you'd hope for. But there were some dramatic moments. I think the last game, Austria against Turkey, was incredible for the fact that it started with that goal inside a minute. And then, I mean, Austria nearly scored two or three goals in the next couple of minutes after that. And then the save by the Turkish goalkeeper, who virtually the last sort of action of the game. I know they sort of got a corner after it, didn't they? But, you know, almost the last action of the game. As good a save as you could see, really. It was a sensational stop. So I suppose that was the most exciting game. There were dramatic moments. Ronaldo's missed penalty, the tears, Sesko going through one-on-one to knock Portugal out. It didn't happen. So we nearly had some big upsets. You know, Slovakia are seconds away from beating England, and then Bellingham, you know, Roy the Rover stuff, isn't it? That sort of overhead kick in sort of the 95th minute to sort of claw England back into it. Sesko has that one-on-one against Portugal to knock them out and doesn't take it. So we could have had the upsets. France, that game against Belgium was turgid, really. Yeah. I didn't enjoy that at all. That was felt like kind of one of the real big games, didn't it, at the last 16. Didn't live up to the hype. Love Spain against Georgia. The fact that Georgia scored first really opened up that game, but you know, Spain came roaring back. And it feels a long time ago now, but Germany against Denmark, that was maybe the game that had the highest quality between both teams. You know, yeah. I thought that was a good game, controversial moments and, you know, real marginal calls that went against Denmark. Overall, I'm glad Germany have won, so we'll get to that game. I mean, I think Spain v Germany has the makings of an absolute classic. But yeah, it was a sort of last 16 that I don't really think caught fire, but it could have done, because Denmark nearly beat Germany. If they score first, that's a different game. Yeah. Slovakia nearly beat England. Slovenia nearly beat Portugal, but they didn't. And what that does mean is we've got some great quarterfinals coming up.
And what it means in terms of the outright betting is that England remain the favourites at around about 15-4, Spain 4-1, France and Germany 9-2, the Netherlands 13-2, Portugal 9-1, Switzerland 14-1, and probably not surprisingly, the outsiders are Turkey at 33-1. What's your thoughts in terms of the outright betting at the moment, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, it's never nice when you sort of have a bet anti-post, put up Portugal, and they're a bigger price now than what they were at the start, which is slightly annoying. I suppose the positive was before the last 16, sort of sweet on Netherlands, and that's, you know, they're now, you know, a fairly sort of much shorter price. I feel like, you know, Netherlands can get through that half of the draw. But, I mean, ultimately, I think the winner comes from the top half. And picking the winner of those two ties and then who wins the semi-final is not easy. I'm not really in a position, I don't think, to go, oh, I fancy team X, Y or Z at this stage.
You must be buoyed by the better performance from the Netherlands, Mark. I thought they were much better in the last 16.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Romania, what, first 5-10 minutes sort of were, I suppose, feisty and were pressing the Dutch all over the pitch. But once Netherlands worked that out, I thought it was a really good performance. If anything, the 3-0 was in no way flattering towards them. I mean, Romania were clinging on for dear life at 1-0. And they've got a lot of what you need to win a sort of competition or go far in the competition, because the defence has got, like, you know, players that play for Inter and Liverpool and Man City, you know, like, it's really, yeah. It's really high quality defence. The forward line, you know, Gakpo, you know, as a Liverpool fan, Warren, you might not recognise this Gakpo, but he's been very lively. Marlon was in the Champions League final with Borussia Dortmund. I thought he made a difference when he came on the right-hand side. Memphis always sort of flatters to deceive. He's got great touches. I don't know. He's never going to be a Harry Kane in the penalty box, but, you know, he's a talented player. It's about the midfield. Like, is that midfield good enough? I think Reinders, the Milan player's done well. Xavi Simons has shown touches and moments rather than dominated a match so far. But like them at the back, I like them up front. It's just that midfield, when they come up against, if they get through, if they come up against, like, Rodri, Fabian Ruiz and Pedri, or Tuameni, Kante, and Rabiot, Bernardo Silva, Bruno Fernandes, João Paulinho, Vitinha, and then Germany, you know, with Toni Kroos and Andrick in there, are they good enough to win that battle? I'm not sure that they are, that just goes to show the top heavy nature of the draw. I think the four best teams are all in one half of the draw. That's what I would say.
Okay, well, we'll talk more about the Netherlands clash with Turkey and the other games, of course, in a moment. But we have to start with the big match in terms of how we look upon it, with England against Switzerland on Saturday evening, a 5 p.m. kickoff. In terms of the match odds, England around about 6-5, Switzerland 14-5, and the draw 2-1. Before we get into the crux of the game against the Swiss, Mark, England were very, very fortunate against Slovakia. We seem to be just saying the same things after every game now.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was the worst of the lot, though. Slovakia were the better team. Definitely deserved, I think, to win the tie at 1-0. They maybe sort of ran out of legs slightly, but there were opportunities for them on the counter-attack. And it's basically required a moment of absolute genius from Bellingham to get England out of, like, one of the most humiliating results in sort of modern history. You sort of look at that, like, the failure sort of to qualify for the World Cups, but, like, they were actually against good teams, weren't they? They ended up in sort of rough parts of the draw, you know, when they lost to, like, Croatia, with Wally with the Broly, and then even Graham Taylor. There weren't as many teams that used to qualify for the 1994 World Cup, and, you know, things went against them in that sort of infamous game against the Dutch. This was like Iceland all over again. I think it might even have been worse than Iceland. It certainly wasn't any better than Iceland. And, like, Southgate, he got out of a terrible hole, and it wasn't because, you know, he stayed patient and the team came good. It just one of them lucky moments for him, because it's not a planned move to launch a long throw in, flick it on, and then get an overhead kick. That's not something that England should be relying on to draw with Slovakia, to sit on his hands for 60-odd minutes. And even then, you know, Kieran Trippier was struggling with injury, it looked like to me, is the reason why he got substituted. And then not to make another sub for, you know, I mean, would he bring Ivan Toney on with, like, a minute left? I mean, yeah. Like, it was terrible management. It was a terrible performance. And it really annoys me when the fans sort of get it in the neck from the players after the games. Yeah. And they're moaning at each other more, just as much as what the fans are moaning at the players. And I didn't enjoy any of the game. And then even when they got in front so early on in extra time, they then sat back again for the next 25 minutes and invited pressure against the team that was out on their feet at that stage. And, you know, there were one or two scary moments that just didn't need to be there. And I thought it was an awful performance. And, you know, the only good thing is that they're still in it, and, you know, you've got to be in it to win it.
Well, we could ask and question why or how for hours on end, I'm sure. But they will have to make some changes, Mark, for the game against Switzerland, mainly due to being forced to make it with the suspension of Mark Gay, which is going to be a setback for England. He's been relatively steady, I think, through the tournament so far. But they're going to potentially, if rumours to be believed, change formation as well. There's a lot of talk at the moment about three centre-backs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Gareth Southgate needs to do something. I'm not entirely sure what that something is, but he needs to break this rhythm of what the team is doing. And it might not work, but I would be in favour of switching to a back three if England can do that, because you get Konsa, albeit he's not going to be on these sort of favoured side, but Konsa, John Stones in the middle, Kyle Walker had a bad game against Slovakia as the three centre-backs. You get Trent Alexander-Arnold into the team, like the left wing-back. Like, if you're bold enough to play Saka as a left wing-back, I mean, that's interesting, and would at least get a left footer over there, and you're getting more players into forward positions. Then you've got kind of still that two in midfield, what I'm assuming would be sort of Mainoo and Declan Rice. So you're then left with three players, and whether you could then play Foden and Bellingham off Kane in sort of central areas, that might work. You could play two up front and sort of share the load and maybe drop Foden and play Bellingham sort of off two forwards, and whether that was Watkins to run in behind or the physical presence of Tony. There's more options, I think, doing this. Because I know everyone's saying Anthony Gordon needs to start. I've probably said it myself at some stage. But, I mean, he's not exactly Ronaldinho, is he? You know, like, it's not like he's this superstar player. It's just he's somebody that gives balance to the team. But this kind of reported change, I think, would give balance in a lot of areas. I'm not sure if Saka wants to play as a wing-back. And I mean, he definitely didn't want to play as a left-back. And you'd still have issues with maybe Constant bringing it out on that side of the pitch because he's sort of right-footed. But I think they have to do something because this idea that it will just come good, just it isn't ringing true. They've had four games now, and three and a half of them have been well below what you would expect of a team of England's talent.
There's been a lot of clamour for Cole Palmer to be given a start in this game. And I think it surrounds Phil Foden's performances more than anything, Mark. I mean, is Gareth Southgate going to be brave enough to decide that now is the time for Foden to drop out?
Oh, he might do. I mean, I still think that half of Foden's problem is the fact that Trippier doesn't go around the outside. And so he's not getting that kind of help that he needs over there. You know, you good combination play, isn't it, with the winger and fullback? That's where teams are usually at their best. If you look at Arsenal with when Saka plays and Ben White goes round the outside, that really opens up the game as far from an Arsenal point of view. But Walker's not doing that down the right. Trippier is definitely not doing it down the left, and everything's coming into the middle. So I think you could take Phil Foden out, but I'm not sure that would actually solve too many of the problems per se. So I quite like the idea of like Foden and Bellingham centrally off of Kane in that sort of 3-4-2-1. You've then got most of your players in your best positions, and let's see. I mean, it can't be any worse.
No, it can't be, can it? Clearly, that has got to be, you'd hope, from an England perspective, their worst performance of the tournament, and that things will improve. Whether Switzerland will give them the time and space that they need to make an impact in the quarterfinals remains to be seen. What have you made of them so far?
Yeah, they've surprised me. They've been better than I expected. No doubt about that, Warren. If you look at their performances, qualified with ease. They've absolutely smashed Italy in that last game. I mean, we can probably say, oh, Italy aren't very good. But we weren't saying Italy aren't very good when Spain beat them 1-0, were we? We were saying, what a great performance from Spain. And Switzerland beat them 2-0 and were sort of just as comfortable. So I've been impressed with them. And I mean, you could easily argue this is England's toughest game so far.
Yeah, I'd completely agree with that. And I think the fact they've spread the goals around the team as well makes it a real sort of concern for England's backline.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree with that, Warren, because and they've rotated their team, haven't they? And you're never quite sure kind of who the most important players are in kind of that forward line. I think we know that Xhaka's the most important player in the team sort of overall, but in the forward line, Mbolo didn't start the tournament. I think they've had about three different players in the centre forward position. Someone like Ndoye's come in and I think surprised a lot of people with his quality. If Mbolo's fit, he is an absolute handful. And yeah, I'm not sure that England are defending that well enough either, really, to keep the Swiss out.
Okay, time now to get Mark's best bets for this clash. What are you looking at here, Mark?
Yeah, I'm just going to go. I think there's a couple of ways to play. Look, you could do Switzerland to qualify. I think Switzerland draw no bet. Probably the way that I'd be sort of looking. If I look at what England have done so far in the tournament, I mean, they've had 44 attempts at goal and only 12 on target. Albania and Poland have had 13. I just can't be convinced. I would be more nervous about this bet if England do change formation. And I was sort of surprised it was even mentioned because, Southgate's been so. Kind of, I know what I'm doing, it'll be all right on the night, type kind of attitude. But, we can only judge England on what they've done so far. It's not been anywhere near good enough. Switzerland have won the XG comfortably in three of their games. And the one that they didn't was the 1-1 draw with Germany when they were winning for a large part of it. So game state was that the Germans were chasing the match. So, yeah, I just think Switzerland have beaten Italy, they've drawn with Germany. Like England haven't got that in the form book. So, yeah, I'll go for Switzerland draw, no bet.
Well, if you've been a regular with us throughout the Euros, you'll know that Mark likes to give us a bet builder for the main game as well. And what's the tip here, Mark?
Yeah, so first of all, Warren, it's probably worth just shouting out. I'll be on with Dave Orton, Paul Keighley, and the gang on Saturday morning on the Racing Post YouTube channel for the William Hill Morning Post, where we'll do some more England v Switzerland coverage. And, we might be able to sort of, suss another couple of bets out as well. But for the bet builder, it's mainly going to be Switzerland based. So I'm going for Switzerland to score. So over Switzerland 0.5 goals, whether it's a back four or back three, I don't think England have defended particularly well in this tournament. The only two teams that have really attacked them have both scored, Slovakia and also Denmark. I'm going to go for Ndoye, player I mentioned earlier, to have over sort of 0.5 shots on target. I mean, he's been a shot machine so far in this tournament. You're going to need him to make sure that it's on target. But he's definitely not afraid to buy a lottery ticket. He's from the obviously a raffle ticket used to be, didn't it? Andy Gray used to love it when you had to buy a raffle ticket. And Frank Lampard was kind of the ultimate raffle ticket buyer. He'd always fire off a lot of shots. And I think Ndoye is somebody that is capable of contributing to the shots and also maybe to the goals for Switzerland. So that's two legs of it. And I'm going to go for England's man at the moment, Jude Bellingham, to be booked. He clearly is playing on the edge at the moment. He every time a pass goes astray, he moans at one of his teammates. Now he would argue he's just won the Champions League. He scored two goals in the tournament. I think apart from his two goals, he's been really poor. He struggled for, it looks like, fitness. And he's constantly getting involved in sort of little niggly sort of incidents. And I can see him and Xhaka just winding each other up for like the entire 90 minutes. So going for Switzerland to score and Ndoye to have a shot on target and Jude Bellingham to be booked. And that comes out roughly, you'll have to shop around, comes out roughly about 18 to 1.
Well, that's Mark's bet builder and best bets then for England Switzerland, which takes place in Dusseldorf on Saturday at 5 p.m. Up next, we'll look at the remainder of the quarterfinal ties. Well, time now to look at the other three quarterfinals at Euro 2024, and we'll start with what Mark mentioned earlier on as the standout tie. Friday night, 5 p.m. You have to be in front of your TV to watch Spain against Germany. Promises to be a cracker. Spain around about 17 to 10 to claim the victory. Germany 9 to 5, 21 to 10 the draw. And it's tough to try and pick a winner here, Mark, because Spain have probably looked the best team. Germany, though, with that home support as well, will be flying.
Yeah, and I think the kind of belief is that Stuttgart will be one of those kind of places that's very pro-Germany. I think they're kind of, you know, when they played Scotland, the stadium was full of Scottish people, and you know, against Dortmund, the rain didn't really help. The you know, they went off, didn't they, for lightning? So I mean, there's a big opportunity here for like the nation to get behind the Germans. I totally agree. It's a very difficult game to call because going into the tournament, like Germany were rated a fair bit better than Spain. We've had four games so far, and now we're suddenly saying, well, hold on a minute, Spain are better than Germany. And then let's look who Spain have beaten. Albania, Georgia, Croatian team that was poor, and an Italian team that was one of the worst Italian sides I've ever seen. I'm not saying they're the worst players, but in terms of performances. So this is a significant step up on what they've played so far. Now, I know you'd say the same for Germany, but I just wanted to see if we could pick holes in that Spanish form. And I think that you can. So I make it a really tricky game to call. I love Nico Williams and you know, Lamal on the other wing. I think you know, there's so much there to like. Still not sure necessarily about Morata, but the midfield balance. The one thing I would say is this Spanish defence, I don't think has been properly tested so far, and it's going to get a proper test from Havertz, Musiala. You know, whoever else sort of plays, whether it's Sane or Wirtz, Gundogan, you know, this is a different game for Spain. My best bet for it is for both teams to score. I know in quarterfinal games that sort of the and semi-finals, finals, like the goals expectancy tends to go down, but I just see this being like an absolute belter. They're second and third in the list on sort of UEFA's stats for attacks. They're first and second for attempts on target. And I just think both teams are so much better going forward than they are defensively. So, yeah, I'm going to go for both teams to score.
Let's hope it's the cracker that we all anticipate that it will be. And, you know, argument to say that it could and probably should be the final, to be honest with you. I mean, the next best in terms of a game to look forward to would probably be Friday, 8 p.m.'s kickoff, where Portugal take on France. Portugal, after squeezing past Slovenia on penalties, are 12-5. France are at about 27-20 in the draw 2-1. What are you looking at here, Mark?
I'm looking at a draw. I think it'll be a very tight game. Like France just haven't put it together yet, and we keep waiting for them to do that, but they've still not scored a goal from open play. I don't, it depends whether you think that that Vertonghen one was an own goal or not, but I'm gonna say it was an own goal. Yeah, they've already drawn two games against Netherlands and Poland. It was nearly three, but for that deflection against against Belgium. And I actually thought that Portugal played quite well for a lot of that game against Slovenia. Didn't score. They've got one absolutely obvious problem in the team. It's Cristiano Ronaldo, self-obsessed as ever. They need to drop him. If they drop him, I think they might be able to knock France out. But I don't think that Martinez has got the minerals to do that. I just think, you know, he'll play him. I mean, how he watched that game against Slovenia and thought that the right thing to do was to take Vitinha off because they needed a goal. It's just bonkers. So yeah, I think the draw wouldn't be surprised if this went all the way to pens. And if it does go to penalties, you've got two absolute sort of like spot kick magicians really in the goal. Magic Mike Maignan, and then Diogo Costa showed exactly what he's all about, didn't he? Against Slovenia. Yeah, I think this will be a really tight game.
And the only other quarter final that we haven't talked about yet is the 8 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. It's Netherlands against Turkey. We've been siding with the Netherlands recently, Mark. Are we doing that again here?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is whether I'm going to be able to watch this game. I'm going to the Coral Eclipse on Saturday. Sandown staying open for the England game. Could well have had you know, a pint or two. I think it's fair to say by sort of 8 o'clock on Saturday night. So I need to get back into central London to watch the game. I think both teams to score is the way to go in this one as well. again, I appreciate that goal expectancy goes down for these sort of latter stages knockout ties, but I just see two teams that want to go forward. I mean, if you have a look at Netherlands, you know, they won and both teams scored against Poland. Then they had the tight game against France, but it was a result that suited both teams, really. Then they played Austria, chaotic 3-2 defeat. Played Romania, 3-0 win. Probably could have scored another sort of two or three on top of that. And then that, you know, sort of that chaos, I mean, that brings us nicely onto Turkey. They beat Austria, both teams scored. They beat Georgia, both teams scored. They beat Czech Republic, both teams scored. And they were beaten 3-0 by Portugal when actually they, you know, they contributed to their own sort of loss there with some manic defending. And yeah, I don't trust them to keep a clean sheet, but with Guler and you know, that their intention to attack, I can see them troubling the Dutch as well in terms of scoring. So yeah, both teams to score.
Turkey 5-1, by the way, to win that quarter final. The Netherlands 4-7, and the draw around about 3-1. We're going to wrap up with the accumulator and the nap. Firstly, Mark, your accumulator pick.
Yeah, so just going to go for a double this time, Warren. There's only four games, but I like the both teams to score double. Spain versus Germany and Netherlands against Turkey. I'm just looking at all four teams and just thinking they want to go forward, all of them.
Yeah, I think that's a sound suggestion. And what about the nap, Mark?
Yeah, so I am. It's both teams to score in that sort of opening quarterfinal, Spain against Germany. I think it promises to be a classic. Like Germany, that defence, like, okay, you got Rudiger in there. You know, I like him. I think he's, you know, he's one of the hardest defenders to get past. Absolute man mountain. I'm not as convinced about Jonathan Tarr. I think Joshua Kimmich isn't a sort of a right back that would trust against Nico Williams. Mm. And then I look at the left back, whoever Germany play there, they've had a couple of goes at it. Don't see them being able to deal with what Spain are going to offer down the right-hand side either. But on the flip side of that, you know, this Spanish side really hasn't been tested yet defensively. And I'm not sure that that defence is as good as what the kind of record says on paper, where they kept clean sheets against Croatia. Remember how many chances Croatia had in that game as well. Italy were just poor, and so were Albania. And then Georgia did score, and you know, weren't afraid to sort of counter-attack them as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. Please, please don't be a damp squib, because I won't be able to handle the next three games if it is, because, you know, this could set the tournament alight. Let's hope so.
Yeah, I think the quarterfinals in general promise to be entertaining affairs across the boards. And let's hope it is. And let's hope for more action between now and the end of the tournament that we can look forward to. Not only, of course, as neutrals, but also for those of an English persuasion as well. So for now, it's goodbye from myself and Mark. Don't forget to like, subscribe and comment. Plus, you should also check out our latest episode of The Sweet Spot for all of your golf betting this week. Of course, a big period of golf coming up with the Scottish Open and the Open Championship in the next few weeks as well. We'll be back on Monday, though, myself and Mark, to discuss the semi-finals. In the meantime, enjoy your football and please remember to gamble responsibly.